I think some shopping centres have still got right of admission reserved signs above the doors. I haven't looked for a while. But many businesses used to have them outside their front doors. Basically, a warning that we don't have to serve you if we don't want to. The notion of banks firing customers was a foreign concept, really, to most of us, until state capture revealed that there were lots of dodgy people with filthily dodgy accounts. And the Guptas were the most high-profile individuals to get accounts shut. More recently, there have been other examples where banks have said they will not deal with some people. And then, of course, somebody like Iqbal Survey has hit back. Iqbal Survey has pushed back against it and has threatened legal action and has taken various steps. And today, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority telling banks that just because reputations might be tarnished through association with various people, that's not enough of a reason to shut down accounts. Kooki Kooiman is Executive Director, Portfolio Manager, Denker Capital, with a particular interest in the global banking sector. Banks firing customers, not an everyday occurrence, but I think Nedbank disclosed in its annual report last week it closed 190 accounts last year. It does happen, Kooki, and clearly it's not something that banks do lightly.
Yeah, no, it's a tough subject, and it's changing, and it was brought to prominence again overseas recently with Coutts changing or closing Nigel Farage's account, and and yeah, that was quite a furore, and JP Morgan, who's facing lawsuits or has already had lawsuits because of failure to close Jeffrey Epstein's account, and then actually, another very interesting one is ABN AMRO, who 4 years ago just decided to close all the accounts of foreign account holders. So, as you know, there are many Dutch expats across the world, including South Africa, and ABN AMRO made a decision that if you don't reside in the Netherlands anymore, even though if you've had that account for 30, 40, 10, 20 years, they're going to close it. And there was no redress. So the fear is on the bank side is the legal risk they're running and that of fines. And a number of fines, ING, the banks in Scandinavia specifically, have had huge fines from the U.S. for facilitating money laundering transactions, which happened 10 years ago when systems were different, but a lot of that was Russian money, which fled via the Baltic countries of the Swedish and so banks. But the bottom line is if you as a bank facilitate it, see afterwards becomes apparent that you facilitate a criminal attack activity, as in the case with SASPA now where SARS is actually attacking them, then you have a big risk both of fines or bigger. So I agree with what Unati said in terms of, firstly, he urged them to reflect on whether the prevailing common law position is fair. And firstly, I think banks must all have, and I think I do, I haven't actually been able to check all of them, but to have a clear policy on which accounts will you open and which won't you open. In the US, for instance, there's a big topic on should banks be funding gun manufacturers. And you might decide as a bank, we are not going to fund or finance gun manufacturers. And that will get a lot of clients to leave you and others will join you. But okay, so you have a clear policy. Be consistent in that because that's very important to prove that you did. And have it very publicly available. The problem, however, now comes, and that's, I think, what you really want to hear, is when it is still not clear that there has been criminal activity, but the bank is suspicious because of the transactions that the systems are picking up a red flag, lots of overseas transfers. What do you do as a bank? When did you close the Gupta's accounts? As soon as you those transactions?
They're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. And this is the difficulty of it. And you know the banking system. You know the systems that these guys have got in place. And South Africa's banking system is incredibly advanced and should be able to detect suspicious transactions. And surely at the moment that you have a suspicion that somebody is involved in something underhand, you have an obligation, I suppose, to maybe immediately suspend them and then say, please come and see us and explain. And if the explanation is acceptable and, you know, you've got your foreign exchange clearances and all of that sort of stuff, well, then you say, terribly sorry, we've made a horrible mistake. Give them a nice bottle of wine and apologize. If not, you run the risk of getting yourself into all kinds of regulatory trouble, as in the example that you mentioned, Sasfin, which appears to have been used as a conduit for billions of rand out of the country that left illegally.
Yep. So I think you're totally right. And that is the tightrope that the banks are walking. And maybe to date, because of regulatory or the regulators being behind them, the banks maybe have been too quick, or no one said too quick, but it was easier to close an account without being transparent necessarily. I mean, again, the Coutts case of Nigel Farage was very clear. They quoted that his account wasn't profitable, which wasn't, but the real reason that came out afterwards because he was politically connected and you know, they didn't want to. So, you know, but the problem is, let's say JP Morgan, a clear case here of Epstein. You suspect that he's a lot of the payments are made regarding illegal providing of girls to clients. What do? You go to him and say, we suspect that you are trafficking girls, and you know, then you could have a court case against you. So it's easier to say that the banks must be fair and be transparent, because also there's client confidentiality that comes into play. Banks are not allowed to say why they're closing the account to the press. I think they can do so with a client, but I think the point that is being highlighted at the moment, that maybe, you know, the banks, and I'm sure they do, you can see Nedbank obviously really applied their minds, this goes to the board as well, but, and I'm sure they're now more and more aware that, you know, of the ramifications. By the way, bear in mind that accounts are being closed, are often being closed because there is something suspicious about it. I think 99% of, well, I hope, of your listeners won't be in that situation.
No, exactly.
So the average man in the street doesn't get affected by this.
No, exactly. But the point is, the banks do have had and have exercised this authority, but I cannot imagine a world in which a bank just closes an account because it doesn't like your face. It doesn't like your politics. Certainly not in South Africa, but it may certainly would go through a rigorous process, because the reputational damage to them for being unthorough would be devastating, I would think, if they did it willy-nilly.
Absolutely. I think in the article as well, it is stated and that the Supreme Court of Appeal in December 23 actually did set aside a court interdict barring Nedbank from closing the accounts. But before that, the court had also upheld its legal position in that it can close accounts. So, I mean, at the moment, we've got cases going both ways. So I think we do need more clarity, and maybe the regulators should also come out and even the Reserve Bank with a clear statement as to what they expect banks to do, because in the end, they protecting our financial system. I mean, the whole grey listing thing partly comes as a lot to do with that.
Absolutely.
If we want to get off the grey list, we must make sure that our banking system is clean.
Kokkie Kooyman, as always, thank you. Executive Director and Portfolio Manager at Denker Capital, Kokkie Kooyman, on the line to us from Amsterdam tonight.